Do you want to set your child up for success? Is tutoring out of your budget, or perhaps you're someone like me who just wants to save money on private tutoring? Is this a big school year for your child? You know, maybe they're starting kindergarten or middle school. Maybe there's another milestone coming up. Or maybe your family moved. Oh my gosh, I moved so much when I was growing up. And the kids are starting a new school. Or maybe your child is ahead and just not getting challenged enough in class. Well, IXL Learning is here to help. IXL Learning is a fun online learning program for kids covering math, language, arts, science, and social studies. It's powered by advanced algorithms. IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or the personality. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's right, it is school approved. So make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And How to Be Fine listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/fine. Visit IXL.com/fine to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Again, that's IXL.com/fine.
If a friend asks how you're doing and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang it in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
The following podcast contains barnyard language and some adult content. So maybe listen on headphones if you're at work or around small children. Now, here's the show.
Hey, Kristen.
Yeah, Jolenta.
It's no secret that you and I are not very into cooking.
Why do we need to be into cooking? We have husbands.
Yeah, and they do that for us. True. But I was wondering, maybe we don't dislike cooking. Maybe we just hate juggling a bunch of ingredients and long recipes and all the intricate planning cooking takes. You know, maybe we just need something simpler. Something like borderline naked.
Naked? What does naked have to do with cooking?
You're going to find out right now, because I'm Jolenta Greenberg.
And I'm Kristen Meinzer.
And this is By the Book.
In each episode of By the Book, we choose a different self-help book to live by, follow it to the letter, and weigh in on whether or not it actually changed our lives.
So, for this season, our seventh season, we are exploring the topic of hearth and home through, what else? Self-help guides, duh. That's why you're here. And today, we are tackling the task of cooking with the book, Five Ingredients, Quick and Easy Food by Jamie Oliver.
Jamie Oliver is an English chef, author, TV personality, and an advocate for healthy meals in schools. He grew up above the pub his parents owned in Essex, England, and he was working in the kitchen there by the time he was 8 years old. At 16, he left home to study at Westminster Catering College and began his culinary career. While Oliver was working as a young chef at London's prominent River Cafe in 1997, he was briefly featured in a documentary about the restaurant. The BBC took note of him, and by 1999, at the tender age of 21, his first cooking show, The Naked Chef, debuted. That same year, he released his first book of the same name, which became a bestseller. Since then, Oliver has starred in numerous cooking shows, opened many restaurants, and written many best-selling cookbooks, all based around his Naked Chef message of paring down ingredients and food preparation to make cooking approachable for everyone.
In 2017, Jamie Oliver released the book Five Ingredients, Quick and Easy Food. In it, he posits that it only takes five ingredients and 30 minutes or less to put fresh, healthy, good-tasting meals on your table. He believes that we should all be cooking from scratch and that it's not as hard or as time-consuming as we often think it is. The book lays out 5-ingredient meals for salad, pasta, eggs, meat, veg, rice, noodles, and there's also a dessert chapter in there. Each recipe first shows photos of the raw ingredients and then a photo of the final dish at the end, as well as nutritional information for each dish. Note, Oliver makes it clear that not every recipe in the book is a balanced meal, but 70% of them are healthy.
Here's how you do it. Step one, stock your pantry. While each dish in 5 ingredients is simple, none really only has 5 ingredients. Each dish also includes some or all of the items that Jamie Oliver considers essential to a well-stocked pantry. These items are olive oil for cooking, extra virgin olive oil for dressing and finishing dishes, red wine vinegar as a good all-rounder when it comes to acidity and balancing marinades and sauces, and sea salt and black pepper for seasoning. If you don't already have these 5 items in your pantry, stock up.
Step two, focus on quality, not quantity. Buy the best meat, fish, and veggies you can find. Shop sustainably and in season to be more nutritious, delicious, and affordable. Choose organic, free-range, or higher welfare meat whenever you can, making sure beef or lamb is grass-fed. The same goes for dairy and eggs and anything containing dairy and eggs, including noodles and pasta. Buy responsibly sourced fish on the same day you'll use it, or freeze it until you need it.
Step three, celebrate condiments. The recipes in the book enlist a lot of condiments like mango chutney, curry paste, black bean paste, teriyaki sauces, miso, and pesto. These items guarantee flavor and save hours of time in preparation. While they're widely available in supermarkets, keep in mind that you generally get what you pay for.
Step four, big up on fresh herbs. Herbs are a gift to any cook, and Oliver uses a lot in the book. But instead of buying them, he encourages you to grow them yourself in your garden or in a pot on your windowsill. Herbs are the foundation of all cooking, allowing you to add single-minded flavor to a dish, and they're also packed with all sorts of qualities on the nutritional front, too.
Step five, equipment. The equipment used in the book is pretty simple. A set of saucepans and nonstick oven-proof frying pans, a griddle, and a shallow casserole pan, chopping boards, some sturdy roasting trays, and a decent set of knives, as well as a couple of baking tins. If you want to save time, Jamie also encourages you to get a speed peeler, a box grater, a mortar, and a food processor.
Step six, cook and share. Not every recipe in the book will give you a balanced meal. Some are simply great ways to cook a piece of fish or elevating a vegetable that will just blow your mind. The important thing to remember is to get your balance right across the week and to have a happy time cooking. So get to it. Share the recipe with your friends and post photos of your finished dishes on Instagram using the hashtag #QuickAndEasyFood.
Step seven, make the freezer your friend. A lot of the recipes in the book are designed to serve too, so that it's easy to scale up or down as you need to. Some recipes are more naturally suited to being made in bigger quantities, particularly when it comes to slow cooking, but you can always freeze extra portions for another day. Just remember to let food cool before freezing, breaking it down into portions so it cools quicker, and get it into the freezer within 2 hours of cooking. Make sure everything is well wrapped, meat and fish especially, and label it for future reference. When ready to eat, thaw in the fridge first, and generally, if you've frozen cooked food, don't refreeze it again after you've reheated it.
That's what the book says, and so that's what we did for 2 weeks straight.
So, Jolenta, I am so excited to hear about your cooking adventures and mine, because we so rarely do this. Mm-hmm. It's almost like asking, like, I wonder what your skydiving adventures are like this week.
Yeah, but, they were wild. No. I had mixed feelings about starting this book, I'll admit, because like any basic bitch of a certain age, Kristen, I enjoyed an episode or two of The Naked Chef back in the day. I'm not gonna deny it. You know, The Naked Chef, of course, being this show Jamie Oliver hosted back in the day. You know, I was in college. I thought maybe he would be naked. He was cute, so I stayed. It all worked. I fell for it. But,
hold on, but he's not actually naked on the show, is he?
No, he's not. That's how they get you. But then he's like cute enough that you stay even though he has clothes on.
Ugh, the bait and switch.
Anyway, I don't hate him, but I also do hate everything having to do with food right now. I don't know if you're in the same boat, but like, you know, we've been quarantining basically for 6 months. I'm on immunosuppressants, so I'm not even allowed to go to the grocery store to like peruse what food is available. And the fact that the guy I rely on for help getting food, aka my husband Brad, is okay eating, you know, the same sandwich for breakfast, lunch, and dinner and forgets that we're not all like that. Like, I hate food. I hate thinking about food. I hate trying to come up with things to eat when I can't see the food at the store. It all sucks.
Yeah. I mean, even people who are not sick right now, I think, feel your pain, Jolenta. It's not an exciting food time for some of us.
No. And like when we manage to think about what we want to eat before it's actual mealtime and we aren't like, shit, we need to keep feeding ourselves. It's another day. And like we have meals that we need to eat. You know, basically things sound like this.
So would you like a bowl with some chicken in it, like a chicken Caesar?
No, I don't want any. I don't want like a lettuce and I don't want meat.
Okay. How about a, it's like a market size bowl, basically.
Okay, yeah.
So it can get you summer farro. You like farro? With maybe some squash and broccoli and sweet potatoes.
Squash and sweet potatoes are the same.
Okay. Tomatoes?
No, that's so boring. Yeah. Everything makes me angry and want to throw up.
Sorry.
Ugh, Jolenta, that sounds so hard. Ugh, being sick, eating, bad combo.
Eating. It's hard.
It is. I do have to say, though, just a side note, I had no idea squash and sweet potato were the same thing.
Mm-hmm, and yeah. You learned that today. And welcome.
Yeah, I learned it today because it was clearly your breaking point. So what did you do then?
I decided I'd start easy and I did step 7 to actually start living by the book.
Oh my gosh. So you're going to start freezing food from the beginning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you explain how that works?
Here I am doing it. I'm explaining it while I do it. So why don't we just listen?
So my mom sent me this very cute, but giant jar of soup, and it's amazing, but apparently I'm the only person in my household that eats chicken soup. Brad only eats cream-based soups, so he's not going to help me eat this giant thing. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get little jars and ladle individual servings into said jars. Then I will freeze the servings.
Hot damn, Jolenta. You are doing the steps in reverse. You didn't even cook that food and it's already in the freezer.
I think you also mean cold damn, but sure. I had to. I'm sorry.
Nice. Well done. Well done.
Okay. After that, I decided to check out our kitchen equipment situation.
Ah, yes. Good old step 5. How'd that go?
It was great. It was easy. I didn't have to do jack shit. turns out we have everything the book calls for because Brad's into cooking and baking. And over time, like, we've either acquired some nice stuff, we've been gifted some nice stuff, and, you know, call our Apple Podcast reviewers and say sorry in advance because I didn't really do the step because I have all the shit and I know they get upset when I don't technically do a step. But I did. What am I going to do? Go buy a mortar and pestle? Like, we have a good food processor.
You did the inventory. That's all that matters.
Right,
all you had
to
do is take an inventory. Yes, you checked. That's fine. Yes. What did you do after that?
So after that, in order to finally get to cooking, Brad and I went through the book. We picked a few recipes that looked good to us, and I sent him the store to get groceries and some red wine vinegar for step 1.
Yes. Stocking the pantry. I think the vinegar step's interesting because, you know what? There are like 10 different kinds of vinegar. There's so many kinds of vinegar.
Right. And it's like we have two things of apple cider vinegar, rice wine vinegar, and balsamic in the house, but we did not have red wine vinegar. So there we go. So he did great getting all the groceries and stuff, although we hit a bit of a snag when it came to step four.
Ah, big up on fresh herbs. By the way, big up on fresh herbs. What does that even mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we were little up before. apologies. So we hit an herb snag, and here it is.
Question for you.
Yes.
Why did you buy mint when we have sprigs for free that we grew?
We have so few of them.
Okay.
And
well,
we need enough mint for two different dishes.
Okay. I'm going to start like a weekly harvest time, because the reason we don't have enough is because we don't ever pluck it, and then it just grows tall but not more leaves. Because that way we actually use them, and like I can freeze them in butter if you want or whatever, but like they're just growing
Ooh,
tall and not making more leaves.
And then we throw them away and they actually grow better when you harvest
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Sundays?
Yeah, great.
Yeah?
Lovely.
Perfect.
Ah! Harvest that mint, Jolenta. It is so invasive. It will spread everywhere if you don't eat it. Get it.
Yeah, it
Get
just
it.
Is growing tall, not making many leaves. We also have basil and sage that we are not harvesting, and rosemary. So we should get on it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you have all the basics. I bet Jamie Oliver is so proud of you right now.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. okay, so after that, we finally did step six.
Ah, yes. That is the actual cooking and sharing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I did not do the cooking, but Brad shared it with me, and here I am eating it.
Okay, what is this?
All right, so this is a butternut squash salad with, you don't like avocados, so I put in some summer squash, and then there's some mixed greens. Mm-hmm. I added some pepitas for some crunch.
I love pepitas.
I know you do, and then on top... We have some shredded mozzarella.
Just expertly shredded out of the packaging with your fingers.
Well, that's how you're supposed to shred it.
This is gorgeous. Yeah. This looks really nice.
And then, in addition, just because you wanted it, I made some naan.
Shut up, really?
Some homemade naan.
Just for fun?
Yeah.
It's yummy.
Jolenta, I'm just going to say here and now, you didn't actually cook,
Brad
which was
shared
the point of this.
With me. And he took a picture of it that I could share on Instagram. I also cook more stuff later, but that's for week two.
Okay.
But technically, that is where my week one ended. I have not cooked yet.
Okay.
But I ate. I ate and I checked many things in the kitchen.
Okay.
Can you tell me about your first week? Let me guess. You were cooking the whole time.
Well, maybe I did some cooking. I will give you a little hint here, a little spoiler. I did cook more than I normally do because, you know, I figured it's only five ingredients.
Right.
This isn't going to be too torturous.
30 minutes or less is the promise the book makes.
Yeah, so I just steeled my reserves and I said, it's time to hit Flavor Town.
I'm sorry, isn't that a Guy Fieri reference?
I don't know.
Chef, girl. No, I like it. I'm just saying, you know, if you're going to hit Flavor Town, like, I think that's for a diner, a drive-in, or a dive.
Anywho, I started with step one and step three.
Okay, so that is stock up your pantry and celebrate condiments. I hope you had a party for your condiments.
Yes, we did. You know, Dean, he loves to cook.
Right.
He already has the five pantry staples, as
yeah.
one might expect.
And then some.
Yes, but then it came time to look at the condiments, and not only did Dean have a ton, but then at the end, he surprised me. Listen.
So here are some examples of condiments that we should have on hand. Mango chutney.
Mango chutney.
Curry paste.
I don't have curry paste. I have curry powder.
Okay. Let's just, I think that's fine.
We have miso. We have gochujang. We have sambal oleg. We have ancho chili paste. Regular brown mustard. We got fancy pants mustard if we need it. We've got a bunch of salad dressings. We've got three or four different hot sauces.
You probably want more pesto, though.
Yes, I do. Although... Since last week we were growing things, guess what's in the little blue container out there? We have some fresh basil. on the balcony we can make some pesto with.
Shit, Kristen, I'm sorry. Did Dean just bring up step four out of his butt, out of magic,
yes.
out of thin air?
Yes, he did. He big upped on fresh herbs without me even asking him to. So, hello, Jamie Oliver. We're ahead of you. Yeah.
That is right. And it sounds like you harvest your herbs. So good on you.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Love it. So, what did you do next?
We did the good old inventory of Dean's cooking equipment. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. as you know, Jolenta, as all the listeners of the show probably know, Dean has lots and lots and lots of cooking
yeah.
equipment. He has a sous vide. He has three different kinds of machines
what
just for chopping things. He has more than one mortar and pestle. He has way more than Jamie Oliver needs us to have.
I'm sorry. When at any given time in your household, are there like three people who are like, I need a mortar and pestle?
We need mortar and pestles for everyone.
Quick, quick, more pestling.
Anywho,
but
Dean
yeah,
does not
I mean,
need
I
step
figured,
five.
I figured.
He is step five. Yes, he's totally step
yeah,
five.
Yeah, like if we have the gear, like Mr. Instapot, like kitchen gear has all the gear.
Yeah, he does. So after that, I paged through the book, came up with a bunch of mm-hmm. recipes I might want to make, put together a grocery list, and then Dean and I hit up the store for some step two shopping.
Okay, step two is focus on quality and not quantity.
Exactly. And the store we shopped at had an enormous produce section. It's a very giant new grocery store in New York. I will not name it. You know what it is, Jolenta. And we divided and conquered in the produce section because the produce section is like the size of our regular grocery store. And unfortunately, when we reconvened, we realized we didn't really quite conquer.
Okay, so I couldn't find Cavallo Nero or Indugia. Indugia?
Why not?
I don't
know. It's right over here.
No.
I'm kidding. I don't know what that is. What is it?
I don't know either.
Can't find cress or watercress.
All right. And I can't find soft stem broccoli, but there's this Chinese broccoli. Is that the same thing?
Well, broccolette is like baby broccoli. So yeah, it's probably soft stemmed.
Okay.
Now, just a quick note here. In addition to not knowing what some of the ingredients mm-hmm. were, I think that American English speakers may not even know all the words Jamie uses in his
yeah.
book. Like courgette and aubergine are British English words for zucchini and eggplant, which are the words we use in America.
Right. Broad bean is one I yeah. had trouble with. Those are fava beans.
Yes, yes. There's like all sorts of words like rocket instead of like arugula and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Dean being a Kiwi, he obviously uses all these words and knows them. But I just want to warn people out there, you might be in a pickle if you're shopping
True.
With this book and you don't have a translation.
Don't
have the translation yeah. app up on your phone.
Now that you're saying this, I'm reminded that I did look up a few words while making my shopping list. So
yeah.
good point. Okay. So after that, did you do step six?
Yes, yes. I did indeed eventually get around to the cooking. And I started with an easy basic dish that I make about once a week. I know I don't cook a lot, but mm-hmm. when I do, it's frequently this dish. But of course, I made it Jamie's way, and then I served it to Dean.
So, what do you think of Jamie Oliver's fried rice?
I mean, I've never had fried rice before. Maybe it would be lovely, but it's kind of bland. It's mushy. Doesn't have any texture to it. There's no vegetables. There's no, like...
It's sweet? How do you feel about it being sweet?
Oh, sweet doesn't bother me the way it bothers you, but it's fine.
It's because it's not day-old rice. I had to make fresh rice.
Oh, do you know what the word for this dish is? Insipid. It's an insipid bowl of rice. It just sort of sits there lurking on the table. It's horrible. Oh, I don't want it. I don't want it. Why did he come to America and try and teach school kids how to eat? This is horrible.
Wow. Wow. So it sounds like Dean was not a fan of the Jamie Oliver fried rice, that he prefers the Kristen Meinzer fried rice.
Yeah. And I'm just going to say it as someone who does not like sweet and savory food combos. I also didn't like it. I thought it was horrible.
I mean, I don't blame you. It sounds not great, but I can't sit by and let you trash talk a sweet and savory food combo. Just for the record, I am pro that combo.
I know you like
moving
it.
Moving on.
It's not for me, though. It's not
for
me.
I know.
And 80% of this book, I'm not sure if you noticed, Jolenta, 80% of the book is sweet and savory together.
For example, gosh. I didn't even think about that, but yes, it is.
And you're like, that's why it's so delicious.
I was like, that's why, like, it's kind of intriguing. Oh my gosh, you're totally right.
Yeah. I mean, here are a few examples of things I made. I made egg and mango chutney flatbreads. They mix sweet
and
savory.
Sounds delish.
Ugh. I made hoisin chicken lettuce wraps. Mm-hmm. That makes sweet and savory also. I made the stupid cherry charred wild rice, which also mixed sweet and savory.
Oh, I thought that looked gross. So.
They all tasted terrible. But, you know, I'm just going to say one nice thing here. They did all take only 15 minutes to make.
Well, he did promise quick and easy. So delivered. Is that how you ended the week? What else did you do?
No. I made one last dish at the end of the week. I found one that did not mix sweet and savory. He called it his sort of niçoise salad. But things in the kitchen did not go well. And for the first time all week, the recipe took way over 30 minutes. Here's a little mashup. Thanks to the magic of audio editing of that 30 minutes, all in under 1 minute for you.
Oh, God. This is what it's like to peel a raw egg, apparently. And these string beans are overcooked. Jamie Oliver, 5.5 minutes is not enough to boil this egg. All right, I just boiled this egg for 2.5 more minutes, and now let's see. Oh, God, it's still raw. Jamie Oliver, what are you doing that your eggs cook in 5.5 minutes and mine are raw? All right, I'm doing something you're not going to approve of, Jamie Oliver. I just put these hard-boiled eggs in the microwave. And let's see if these yolks are cooking now. Oh my God, the yolk is still soft. Are you freaking kidding me?
Sounds like the yolk's on you, Kristen.
Jolenta!
I'm sorry.
I can't even be mad at you. That was so good.
I was just kicked out of my own closet after I made that joke. I mean, it sounds like you had a shitty end to your first week. It also sounds like I'm really worried about your egg boiling abilities. I know you'll say it's all Jamie's fault. Sure. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, and I hope things get better in week 2.
Well, let's just say they go differently in week 2.
Nice. I am very intrigued. Cannot wait to hear about it. But you know what we have to do first? We have to take a break.
Yes, we do. But before we do that, have you lived by 5 ingredients? Did it work for you? Share your story at facebook.com/groups/BTBpod. Or at KristenAndJolenta@gmail.com.
And don't forget, you can leave us a voicemail with your comments, your stories, your questions, your thoughts. You'll hear your voice on a mini episode, I bet. Give us a call at 302-49-BOOKS. That's 302-492-6657.
Okay, Jolenta, we talked about your first week of living by 5 ingredients. Now I want to know about your second week. Did you actually do some cooking yourself?
Maybe. Yeah. Yes, I did. So I started the week by doing some like straight up meal planning with Brad. Like I sat down with him. We went over the recipes we decided on and gotten groceries for and figured out when we would make them. And before we finish up the planning session, Brad left me with this advice.
The one thing I'll say is when I was looking at, like, say, the eggs section, which, like, I don't plan on. Like, we're fine on breakfast. Mm-hmm. But, like, the one thing I'll say is I look at the egg section and he gives you, frankly, zero clue as to, like, how you would actually, like, flip your omelet.
Like, oh my God, really? Like,
there's no technique. This, you know.
This is just, it's almost for ideas more than execution.
Yeah. Here's all he says about the technique of making an omelet. He goes, move the eggs gently around the pan. let the bottom of the egg set for 1 minute. Then, technique time, pick up the pan, tilt it down.
What do you mean?
Upside down. With your other hand, keep tapping your wrist until it shakes the eggs up the side of the pan. So I think he means like jostle the, like, you know, shake the eggs. But like, I don't know how far up the side of the pan.
No, this is the like worst description I've ever heard.
I don't know what this means. Then use the spatula to flip it back to the middle.
What? Flip what back?
And then fold the top half back over too.
No.
What?
What?
Brad, excellent point. Technique is important, but, you know, even when there's no technique, we still got to follow the book. Did you follow the book, Jolenta? Did you do some cooking?
Of course I did. I did it all day long, or basically once a day. I did it once a day. I made a dish a day from the book. I made mostly veggie dishes and some salads because I don't eat a ton of meat. And then I decided I wanted to make a fish dish, but I ran into a problem, Kristen. The book says that to do step four properly, which is fresh ingredients, you should get your meat, especially fish, day of, get it from your fishmonger. So sent Brad a few blocks away. We're very lucky. We have a fishmonger not too far. And they were closed despite what their website said, and that we couldn't get them on the phone. Would have been a sign probably. But because of COVID issues, they're like sort of closed half the time, sort of not. They don't post their hours. It's hard to get fish. So I failed. I failed.
Oh. Well, you tried. You tried at least.
Did.
I mean, we're in extreme circumstances right now. Not everything's going to be as simple as when this book was written, right?
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Jamie Oliver could not predict a pandemic. None of us could.
No. For some reason, he could not predict an international global pandemic. All right.
It's crazy. So
what did you do after that?
I made more salads because I couldn't fuck that up, right?
What?
Wrong. Turns out you can fuck up salads, or Jamie Oliver can. I don't know. But that lack of clear technique that Brad was warning me about definitely reared its little ugly head. Listen.
I've got to say, Brad's right. The directions are pretty vague. It says cut off watermelon rind, pick out any seeds, then slice as finely as you can. That's all it says. What size of slices? Like giant, little, bite size? I look at the picture of the finished product and it's just sort of a hodgepodge of color, which is beautiful and Instagram worthy, but I still cannot see the slices. I know it doesn't matter what shape. It's just, it's a very vague instruction and I want to follow the rules. Anyway, back to work.
Oh, yeah, Jamie Oliver. Yeah, he doesn't necessarily get as specific as he needs to, does he?
No. It wasn't the end of the world, but it was annoying. But I powered through. I sliced up. I was slicing watermelon at the time, and I was like, does he want me to julienne this? I don't know. But I just made some choices on my own, and I made a beautiful watermelon salad, which I'm sure you would fucking hate. And basically, I did a lot of step six, just lots of eating and sharing, and I took some pictures of my cute salads. I'll post them on Instagram. And it was fun.
Oh, good. Good. And what did you do after that?
So after that, I had one step left to hit up, and that is step three.
Ah, yes. Good old condiments. Time to celebrate them. Throw them a party.
And so here is my family secret for you, Kristen. My mother's father, also known as my grandfather, is like a condiment fiend. Condiments are his favorite food. The family joke is that if he were a superhero, he'd be called Condiment Man, and he would just have a belt full of compartments with like salt and pepper and olive oil and like roasted peppers and mayo. So let's just say I'm pretty good at carrying on the family tradition. We have lots and lots of condiments, not unlike your husband, Dean. We got mustard, salsas, chutneys, quince paste, Branston pickle.
Oh,
I got
wow.
it all. But I know there are more out there. I know there are some I've forgotten. So I called my grandpa to get his advice on the condiment matter.
What, you know how you have all the condiments and you're the pro, the condiment man?
Yeah.
What is, like, what's your all-time, like, favorite three?
What's my favorite three?
Yeah.
Well, I like mustard on my hot dogs. And if I get a steak and it's not real good, I like Heinz 57.
Ooh, that's a deep cut. I like that.
Heinz 57. And a hot sauce.
What, any certain kind?
Yeah, one with the chicken on it.
Oh, right, right. That's a good one.
Yeah. Got that rooster on it.
Yeah. Put that on your eggs.
I always put a little Tabasco in soup. Or...
Ooh.
Jolenta, will your granddad adopt me? Is he in the market for more granddaughters?
Oh, he will take them all, but get ready to be made fun of and, like, be told you're being prayed for a lot.
Because he cooks the way I want to eat.
Exactly.
Love those flavors.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. I was going to say, it sounds like you and he have a similar taste palette. No sweet sauces on our meats anywhere.
No, I want some kick ass. I want to go to Flavortown. Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry. You already corrected me on that. We're not going to Flavortown.
It's okay. You can go to Flavortown even with Jamie Oliver. Like, I'm sure he's invited. So that advice is where I ended my second week. And I'm definitely going to send Brad out to get some Tabasco to put in my frozen soup later.
Nice. Love it. And I love any time that one of us has an excuse to talk to our family on the show.
Exactly.
I love that.
Yeah. It's always a good excuse to be like, I should call my grandpa for work. And I should just call him, period, because I'm lucky to have one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But enough about me. Kristen, how was your second week? Did you get some fish? Did you cook more? Tell me all about it.
Well, Jolenta, as you know, week one did not go so well for me, but I'm going to tell you right here and now, week two started off pretty great because first and foremost, I did this. All right, Jamie Oliver, this is the sound of me putting all of last week's horrible food in the freezer. And do you know what is in the freezer? Our compost bag. And all of last week's horrible food is now going to be composted. I hate to waste food, but this is not really wasting it. It is going back to the earth where it belongs, and maybe it will grow back as a beautiful aubergine or a courgette or something else that will be more delicious than all of last week's horrible recipes.
Oh, shit. Those are some strong, strong reads headed Jamie Oliver's way. Like, I hope he is in a library and staying safe. But, you know, he did say to make the freezer your friend in step 7, and you did it in a very creative Kristen way. So
yes,
I'm impressed.
I did it. Thank you. And I'm not only am I glad you're impressed, I think you're going to be even more impressed as week two goes along because I went rogue.
Yes. I love when you go rogue.
Oh, it smells delicious. What is that?
You're smelling the toasted almonds, but it's another salad.
Oh.
Don't look so upset. It's a delicious salad. It's, part Jamie Oliver, but then I put my own twist on it. Instead of hazelnuts, I used some almonds. And instead of buttermilk, I used some of the leftover Greek yogurt. Mm-hmm. And instead of cheese, I put in that Parmesan basil gourmet salt that we have. Try a bite.
It tastes great. I mean,
I massaged it.
Of course you did.
I did not put pomegranates in like he wanted because screw it. No more sweet and savory together. I'm not doing
it. We had a spare mango.
I'm not doing that. You can eat the mango. I don't need the savory and sweet together anymore.
I know you've had a lot.
Yes. All last week was savory and sweet together. This week, I am done with that.
Wow. You did leave off my favorite part of the recipe, but otherwise, so proud of you. I love when you, you know, throw off the shackles of conformity. and don't live by the books that we're supposed to live by. No, I like when you fight with the structure. It's fun.
Thank you.
So what did you do after that?
After that, I continued to look at his recipes for inspiration, but make them my own.
Nice.
With my own ingredients, with my own flavors, with my own twists. For example, I made his gnarly garlic Brussels sprouts, but rather than adding fruit and cottage cheese, because let's be real, that sounds nasty.
That's what I would have for breakfast. But.
Oh, God. No, I made my sprouts with fish sauce, soy sauce, sesame oil, and I served it with rice, not with cottage cheese. And I continued to do that all week long and, you know, put my own twist on things. And I even at one point used some of Dean's garden basil in a pasta recipe.
Yes.
And then, of course, I ended the week with my signature dish, done my way, not Jamie's, and I served it up to Dean.
So much better. I know you hate cooking, and you don't do it very often, but when you do, it's delicious. It's wonderful. It's got real flavor to it. It's got actual, like, sauces in it. It's got some good mouthfeel and texture to it. It's fantastic.
It's because I fried my tofu first, unlike Jamie Oliver, who's just, like, smashed in a bunch of soft tofu. That was that fried rice last week.
I know. I know. I still got the taste of it. It's an insipid, nasty taste. Yours is way better. I don't know why anybody would eat his. I mean, I guess he's kind of pretty. Is that why people eat it? I mean, I'm from an English descent country. He's pretty pretty.
He is.
In a country like that. Just saying.
I think being a cooking personality is not the same thing.
As actually being able to cook.
Maybe. I don't know if Jamie Oliver's that good of a cook.
None of us know if he's a good cook. None of us have tasted his recipes. But we've
I don't have taste of vision. I only have watch of vision or whatever that's called. The thing where I can see.
Exactly.
But I don't know. I think maybe I'll be curious whether or not you and I agree or disagree on whether or not Jamie can cook in the verdict.
It will be a heated debate. But first, a reminder, we want to hear from you. We want your heat. Have you read the 5 ingredients? Do you have thoughts? Share your story with us at kristenangelenta@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail, 302-49-BOOKS. That's 302-492-6657. And we're always on Twitter at ByTheBookPod.
All right, Jolenta, it's time to get down to business. Did 5 ingredients actually work? Would you recommend it?
Okie doke. Kristen, this book is pretty to look at. Every other page has an Instagram-worthy photo of a finished dish or just the ingredients themselves in individual photos. Very
so
fun
beautiful.
To look at. Very,
very
good
beautiful.
Layout. It's simple
so
to
clean.
Read. Yeah.
Almost naked.
Yeah, it's, oh my gosh, it is almost naked. It was a simple read. It's fun to thumb through, and it's fine. It is just fine. That's how I feel about it, like, fine. I used to have a teacher in high school, and when you would make a point that she, like, didn't really agree with at the end of it, she'd just go, fine, and then, like, call on someone else. Like, that's how I feel about this book. Like, it's neither here nor there.
So is it fine dining?
Oh, good question. Like, it felt like living by this book felt like trying to live by the description in an Instagram post of a picture of a meal kit delivery dinner. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, it's That's a nice a idea. It's a nice idea. It gives you a jolt of inspiration. The ingredients are listed and they make you go like, oh shit, I forgot about fresh corn. I could do that. Or like, oh my God, right. You can just bake a fish. But then there's not actually much there when you try to, like, use it as a resource to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But also, given the state I'm in right now, this book did help me get my shit together food-wise. There is no denying that the directions were approachable, although vague. and, like, I did get meal ideas and started thinking about food I hadn't thought about in months. I meal planned for the first time probably in forever, which is probably a good thing to do right now, considering, like, thinking about what to eat, like, fills me with dread. Mm. So even though this book was sort of a meh book, it definitely helped me in the time I'm in. But I also wonder if I had a better guide or something more holistic about, like, I don't know, how to throw stuff together without necessarily, like, following directions all the time, but just have a well-stocked kitchen. I don't know. I could have gotten more out of it. I give it a 50-50.
I recommend it because, like, yes, it helped get me out of a slump, and it's beautiful to look at and, like, kind of inspiring in a half-assed way, but it's half-assed.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, I agree with you. It is a beautiful book to look at. It is so well laid out. The photographs are
so
Instagram
pleasing.
Worthy.
Yeah.
They're so beautiful.
Like, who knew a picture of an egg could be so hot? Like, it's sexy.
Yeah. So good. And the recipes were indeed quick and easy. Other than that salad niçoise, most dishes took me about 15 minutes to make. I don't know about you, Jolenta, but I mean.
I'm slow, but I'd say like 30 to 45, which is pretty good for me. I don't trust my timing.
Okay. But I would say for me, they were mostly very quick and easy. That said, the food in this book was not good. None of the dishes were good to me. I mean, maybe they're good to other people, but to me, they were not good. I have my own bias. I do not like sweet and savory.
He also
uses tons of things like spring onions and cilantro, which I cannot stand, as you know.
I love both of those, yeah.
And I mean, so many of the dishes could have benefited from just a few more ingredients or an extra 10 minutes of preparation, in my opinion. For example, his fried rice, as I mentioned, doesn't fry that tofu first. I mean, seriously, just spend 10 more minutes frying the tofu. Add a few more flavors and sauces. It's going to be so much better. Please.
But then the gimmick's gone.
Yeah, right. Maybe the book wouldn't be as sexy if it was 9 ingredients, but it would be way more delicious. And I mean, maybe I would like this book better then because as is, I'm not a fan. I'm sorry.
So fully, Jamie Oliver. A fully bad verdict.
I'm sorry, Jamie Oliver.
Well, Kristen, he didn't take you to Flavortown, but I don't know. Maybe he could inspire you to, like, make Dean be your naked chef. Because I have a feeling Dean would take off his clothes, unlike Jamie Oliver.
Why didn't I think about that?
Oh, my gosh.
Dean, come here, Dean.
Spinoff podcast alert. The Naked Dean. And that's it for this episode of By the Book.
Huge thanks to our fabulous production team at Stitcher, our producers Daisy Rosario and Brandon Nix, our engineer Andy Christens, our chief content officer Chris Bannon. Thanks also to Nate Wida, who composed our theme song, and to the Rizzos for performing it.
Please stay in touch. Let us know if you've read the 5 ingredients. If you have thoughts on Jamie Oliver's food, let us know. Send anything you've got to say to us at kristenangelenta@gmail.com and tweet or Instagram your food photos at us. We are on Twitter and on Instagram at ByTheBookPod. Hit us up.
Also, please rate us and review us in Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. It helps other people to find the show. And if you have not yet already, tell a friend about the show. Tell your fishmonger about the show. Tell somebody naked about the show.
Until next time, I'm Jolenta Greenberg.
And I'm Kristen Meinzer.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Jamie Oliver may not have taken us to Flavortown, but someday I will take him to Funky Town. That was horrible. Don't use that.
Stitcher.